Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, it is. Greeny rolling along on a very busy day before Thanksgiving, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Goodyear Hotline, we come to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The assembled members of the hashtag crew are here. A lot of important stuff to get into. And I'm just going to dive right back into what is really the top story, and that is that it does appear as though we're going to see the NFL's first head coaching change in the next 48 hours. Win, lose, or draw, it feels like Matt Nagy is going to get fired on Friday after the Bears play Detroit tomorrow, a game which Kimberly Martin said earlier she thinks the Lions are going to win, and so do I. I think the Lions are going to win that game. You don't think so, Hembo? You think the Bears win that game?
I think the Bears will win the game.
What is the line on that game?
The Bears are a three-point favorite.
The Bears are
on the road in Detroit.
Three-point road favorite. They're probably considered to be a better bet in Vegas with Dalton than they would be with Fields, right?
Like probably.
If Justin Fields was starting this game, you think the line would be that?
You know what? It's probably going to be about what it is anyway. That's probably SOP for these two teams. I don't think that's going to make that much of a difference.
All right. So I have a couple of questions that stem from this, because this happens in the NFL from time to time. And I want to ask a few questions. Let's start with this. Nagy is sitting up there, and this is the last place in the world you want to be. There's a report that he's already been told that he is going to lose his job after this game. So he's got to answer questions about that at a press conference. I can't imagine anything worse than that.
Man, there's a report today that you've been informed that this will be your last game as president.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions. Again, my focus right now is on these players and on Detroit. That's my job as a head coach and a leader, is to do that.
And that's all, of course, fine. There is no good answer to that question. How do you answer that? What's a good answer to, we're told you've already been informed you're fired. But I think he answers it well, and it is what it is. And again, there was reporting yesterday in Chicago that I saw that he then subsequently did meet with ownership and then canceled a bunch of meetings for the afternoon. I don't know what really is and isn't happening, but it does feel like this is coming to an end, and it's out there and it's so public. So my first question is, do you feel bad for him? Like just your normal human nature. It's a person in a very public place. Do you feel sorry for him? Nuno, I'll start with you because you're a man with almost no emotion and you have pure cynicism. Do you feel sorry for Matt Nagy?
No, I do believe, though, that...
Heartless.
I do believe the fact of them booing on Saturday or chanting fire Nagy during his kid's high school football game, I thought that was crossing the line.
So you feel sorry for him there. You feel sorry for Nagy or for his kid? For those who don't know,
for his kid, because what did his kid do? Like, he doesn't need to be sitting there listening to this as they're getting, I think, and they ended up getting blown out in the game anyway, in that playoff game. But that's where I think we, as fans, sometimes cross the line.
So that's an important part of this story that I was going to bring up next, but Nuno took us right there because I expected Nuno to say, no, I don't feel sorry for him. And I was then going to add the next layer, which is to say Matt Nagy, who is a human being and a father, is watching his son play high school football over the weekend. And fans, I believe fans of the opposing team, but even so, were chanting fire Nagy at the game. And the kids got to hear that, and then the man's got to hear that. So does that change the dynamic? Let me come to you, Hembo, because you're a very... Like we were just talking about Thanksgiving dinner, and you said in our break, well, what I do is I do the math. You will apply the math to almost anything, which does not usually imply a lot of emotion. Do you feel sorry for him being in that situation?
No, because when you sign up to be sign up to do this job, when you're an NFL head coach, or you're a high-profile college football coach, you have to understand that all of this comes with the territory. Like, no one's making you be the coach. If you want to coach football, you can do so, make a lot less money, and call plays and coordinate an offense. This is just part of the deal. It's part of the job. And if you stink at it, you have to be prepared. I mean, obviously, if I'm his kid, it's awful. It's a terrible thing, and I feel badly for the family. But he's a grown man making millions of dollars. It's just hard for me to feel badly for him.
Okay. I think that's a perfectly reasonable one. Let me come to Bubba on this, and many of you may not know this, but Bubba, long before his tenure here in radio production, was a head football coach in the NFL and coached multiple teams. If I remember correctly, the old Chicago Cardinals before they moved to St. Louis, and one other right. stop. I sometimes get them mixed up, but one way or the other.
Houston Oilers.
The Houston Oilers, right? Dan Pastorini and those guys, right before Bum Phillips. So let me ask you this. Do you feel sorry for Matt Nagy?
Yeah, I do. I don't think just because someone makes a lot of money and, you know, has a high profile job, we're not allowed to feel sorry for someone. I mean, yes, there's a lot of good with their job, but there's also bad. And I think it's perfectly acceptable to feel sorry for someone while also criticizing him. Yes, he's done a bad job. And yes, he may deserve to lose his job, but you can also feel sorry for someone who is about to lose his job and will be and is having a tough time with his family and his son at the game there. And I think it's perfectly reasonable to have two feelings at the same time.
I think that is a good way of describing it. Because, Hemba, what you're saying is not wrong. You know, when Baker Mayfield was complaining the other day about getting booed, I mean, there was a part of me that wants to say, you know, life is tough, get a helmet. But he already has a helmet. but that stuff just comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. Like, that does come with the job. But I also know that there are moments when you're being criticized publicly and it becomes very public that it is – my perspective on a lot of this changed 3 years ago, whenever it was that we launched the new TV show, and you, anyone who was around then remembers, Hembo, you were working on the show at the time. You remember how we were received. It was not very positive. And I remember the best thing I could do at the time was I needed to put it away. Like, if I allowed myself to absorb all the things that were being said, I would never have been able to function. Like, I would not have gotten us out of it. So what I always think of, having lived through that experience, and that's one trillionth of what he's dealing with. People weren't chanting nasty stuff at my kids. That's for damn sure. What I always think of is how hard it's got to be for him to block out everything and just do his job. That's the part I feel bad for. Like, you're right. This is the business you have chosen. You have signed up. You are hired to be fired in that business. Mm-hmm. Now, not all of them go through like as public a trial as he is right now. But generally speaking, there are 32 head coaches in the NFL right now. 30 of them will get fired. Like, two of them will retire of their own volition, like Belichick and Tomlin maybe. And that's right. It. 30 of them are going to wind up getting fired one way or another. So that is part and parcel of the business. But what I do find myself thinking is how hard it must be to block that out and do your job. Like, you can't be in public anywhere. Everyone you talk to, you know they know it. So you're wondering, like, are they feeling sorry for me? What are they saying? That it is a lonely place to be. And so while I agree with you, I do find myself feeling a little bit of sympathy or empathy for a person in that situation, even if it is one of his own making. Now, having said that, it brings us to an even more interesting question of the day.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
Right now, Nuno, whose future would you bet your house on? Which is to say, which team right now has a brighter future, the New York Football Giants, which is your team, or the Chicago Bears? Which team has the brighter future this minute?
I would say I'm leaning towards the Bears because of the fact of Justin Fields.
So the Giants have the Bears' first-round pick. So the Giants will have two first-round picks this year. The Bears will have none. I think he's right. The answer to that question depends upon your opinion of Fields. Do you think Fields is going to wind up being an excellent player? If so, then the Bears have their quarterback, and the Giants probably do not. I don't think they've decided that, but I think much of the rest of the world has decided it. Who has the brighter future, the Giants or the Bears, Hembo?
I would say the Bears also. When I think about these things, as you know, I do it big picture. I think about the head coach, think about the GM, and think about the quarterback. So those six jobs across those two teams, I think Justin Fields is the only one that's going to be in the same position, maybe even next year. Now, I think he has a chance to be really good. He's super talented. He's not played well this year, but I'm not confident in either, but just because they have Fields, I'll lean in that direction.
See, there's a part of me that wants to lean. Bubba, let me ask, which do you think, which team is in a better position right now?
I think I might give the Giants the edge. I mean, I get what you're saying with Fields, but I don't know. We don't know enough about Fields. They're obviously going to restart. The Giants just are starting over, and they have a chance to restart everything. Head coach, general manager, quarterback, and all these draft picks. If they do it correctly, they're in a great spot. Plus the NFC East, there's a lot. They're in a great position.
I kind of think that too, that if I'm just thinking, if I'm a person who might consider becoming the new head of the organization, if you offered me that job with the Bears or that job with the Giants, the first thought I have is with the Giants, I've got tabula rasa. I've got a clean slate. I can do literally anything I want in this situation. I can hire my own coach. Again, I don't know that they're going to fire Joe Judge. He's not answering the same kind of questions Nagy is. But that would be part and parcel of it. I wouldn't be interested in the job otherwise. But if you told me I could start over again, hire my own coach, figure out the quarterback situation, I have two first-round picks to do it, I think that that situation could get turned around more quickly.
Do you think the way that the divisions are constituted makes any difference at all? Do you think one is easier than another?
Because if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay, then I think the NFC North is anybody's ballgame. Mm. You take Aaron Rodgers off that team, they stink. And Minnesota, I mean, I'm just not that afraid of a team whose quarterback is Kirk Cousins. And the Lions are the second worst team in the NFL. So that's an all-around bad situation. Why are you laughing at that?
Because they don't have a win yet.
That's right.
And the Jets have two.
Yes, but the Jets are definitely worse. The Jets are worse. The Jets traded assets for a backup quarterback who's not vaccinated.
Yeah, they did that.
Like, all we talked about is, well, if you're going to get a quarterback to be your backup, it has to be someone who's vaccinated. Cam wasn't in the league until he told everybody.
Do you think it's possible they didn't even, like, check that?
No way.
I wondered that. At his first...
No.
How would they not know it? Like from what you hear coming out of the Rodgers stuff, like, it's so well known. Like, they have all these different rules and everything. I did immediately wonder that. Could the Jets have not known that?
Because I think they were saying Flacco didn't wear a mask at first, and then he did eventually.
He didn't at the press conference.
Yeah, and then he did. He eventually said he wasn't.
Right. He has very publicly and defiantly said he wasn't.
Yeah, now he has said. But it's the Jets. So you think they were like, oh, Flacco, yeah, we'll take him. Oh, wait, he's not?
I'd love to know the answer. You'll never know the answer to that. They will never acknowledge it if it's true.
We can't rule that out either. Just ask him an honest question. Hey, did you guys know?
He might just tell you.
He's
vaccinated.
If this goes sideways like it's a Jetsian thing to happen and all of a sudden they don't have a quarterback on Sunday, who's playing quarterback?
Well, I mean, if Zach should test positive here along the lines, and Josh Johnson is his name?
He's in there.
I mean, is he going to? I don't know. What does it matter? I mean, like, it almost doesn't make any difference. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. Coming up, I'll explain why an injustice is being done unto us all tomorrow. And we will have, I've got a couple of more hot takes planned, and then we got who you got. I'm jam-packed here. Stick around. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. A reminder, you can sign up with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Use the code Greeny. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. There's a special, we do the Thanksgiving contest every year. There'll be a contest where they just have the three games for tomorrow, and we play that every year in my DK group. Mm. Which quarterback you like tomorrow? You got Josh Allen. You got Trevor Siemian.
That's a quarterback you like tomorrow.
Andy Dalton. Who's playing quarterback for the Lions again?
Is Jared Goff not
playing? He's not. No, it's the other Tim something.
Tim Boyle, Connecticut native.
And then you got Dak,
right?
And Derek Carr.
Dak is probably the best. I'm not sure he's going to be the best value.
Yeah, that's the point. Is there's a lot of money involved in all this.
And you know Carr's going to throw it a lot. I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah, Carr has been terrible lately. So
Trevor's going to sling it around some if Alvin Kamara does not come back.
Yeah. Trevor's an interesting choice. Mm-hmm. He's actually played fairly well, though. Last week he got just dominated. The whole team got dominated.
He's a play linebacker.
Just a quick thought. Yeah, a very quick question that came up during the break here, and I kind of liked it, so I just thought I'd play.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
Bubba asked the question a lot. You've probably seen this news. I'm not going to belabor this because no one cares anymore. but Joe Flacco, who the New York Jets traded assets for to bring in as a backup quarterback, has now unavailable. He didn't test positive for COVID, but he's a close contact. If he were vaccinated, he'd be eligible to play this weekend, but he's not eligible to play because he's not vaccinated. And Bubba sort of, I think somewhat jokingly, raised the question, do you think the Jets knew that when they traded for him? And my response is, which would be worse, not knowing or knowing and doing it anyway? Like, trading anything for a backup quarterback who is not vaccinated goes contrary to literally everything every NFL team has said. So which is worse? If the truth, I'm looking at Brandon because he's a crazy Jet fan in the room here, at my stage manager. Which is, in your mind as a fan, which would be worse? If the truth, you'll never know the truth. The truth is they'll say, of course we knew. But then the question becomes, then why the hell did you do it? But which would actually be worse, not knowing or knowing and doing it anyway? He's saying knowing it and doing it anyway. So maybe they're better off saying we didn't know. You know, ignorance is bliss.
See, I disagree with Brandon.
You think it's worse the other way?
Yes. If you don't think to ask that, it's like a fireable offense. Like it'll be the first question that you would ask. Like, because if you're trading,
but who do you ask it to?
Anyone who would know. I mean, this is probably common knowledge. I'm sure the NFL has a database with all this information.
But does the NFL tell you that when you make a trade? Like, you're making a trade with the other team.
Joe Douglas worked in that organization, in the Eagles organization. You don't think he has friends that would be like, oh, by the way, just a heads up, he's not vaccinated?
Isn't he also like a public anti-vax guy, too? Like, it's not.
I don't know.
You could have known this.
Was he before this? Like, when he made his comments about not being vaccinated, he said, I have a lot I'd like to say about this, but I don't want to create a distraction.
Right. That's exactly what he said.
That's what he said. So you can interpret from that, yes, he is a strong anti-vax guy, and there's going to come a moment in time when he's going to unleash that. So make sure that whatever else you're doing at that moment, you have other plans. but whatever it is, the point of it is, he's not available to them this weekend.
Right, if you're trading for a player that you theoretically might need,
his whole role is availability.
The first question is, well, can he play? Right. And that's the first question you did ask in that regard.
Okay, it's a joke. All guests join us here on the Goodyear Hotline, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. It does bring up another question, though.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
So, Hembo, when were the first Thanksgiving Day games in American sports? I feel like this has been going on a long time. How long has it actually been?
November 25th of 1920 was the first day in which the NFL played games on Thanksgiving.
Okay. So it's been 101 years that we have had Thanksgiving Day games on the NFL. Maybe not an uninterrupted 101 years, but 101 years ago, they played football on Thanksgiving. I don't know how we would count how many games there have been since then. It's well over 100, obviously. Well, whatever. The point is, it's well over 100. Actually, it's got to be over 200 at this point. I don't know how many it's been. Doesn't matter. Here's the question. Has there ever been a worse game than Detroit-Chicago tomorrow? The Lions have no wins. They're starting Tim Boyle at quarterback. Can I ask you, what's that?
I'm just saying he's from Connecticut. Important note.
Oh, is he? I was about to say to you, who is Tim Boyle? Who is that, Bubba? Why do you know he's from Connecticut?
Oh, I know most people if they're from this great state. Yeah, he's from Connecticut.
Did he go to UConn?
He started. He went to UConn for 3 years, and then he transferred to a 1AA school for his senior year and then really lit it up. And then he was Aaron Rodgers' backup for 3 years, and now he's in Detroit.
By the way, I just looked up his stats at UConn.
Yeah.
In his career there, he threw one touchdown and 13 interceptions.
Please tell me that's not true.
No, Tim Boyle, in 3 years in school,
threw one touchdown and three interceptions?
13 interceptions.
13, excuse me.
Is he the best UConn, former UConn quarterback to play on Thanksgiving?
Oh, that is so nasty of you, Nuno. That is completely unfair to Dan Orlovsky.
Another heartless comment.
Dan Orlovsky is the greatest football player the great state of Connecticut ever produced. Except for Steve Young. Yeah, but anyway.
And Dwight Freeney.
This guy,
to Bucky Jones.
48% of his passes at UConn.
What's that?
He completed 48% of his passes at UConn.
So, he really stepped up when he went to the 1AA level.
He went from UConn to the 1AA level because his numbers at UConn were so bad.
Correct.
Now we have to watch him on Thanksgiving against the Bears, who are terrible. And the only interesting thing about them is to watch the development of Justin Fields, but he's not playing.
The over-under is 41. Is there any chance they score 41 points combined in this game?
I don't know, and I don't care. The point is, here's what I really believe. We need this on Thanksgiving. We need these games. I know that it would be inconvenient, but there is no day of the year that we need a flex schedule more than we do on Thanksgiving. All right? And I mean, look, if you'd been around my family, you would know, I need football. You know, we need football games. We need distraction. We need stuff going on. You need something to pay attention to. You cannot give me the worst game ever. What could be worse? Go back. Hembo actually put them in the rundown. The very first Thanksgiving Day games on the first ever, November 25th of 1920, there were 6 games played.
Good games.
The Chicago Boosters beat the Hammond Pros 27-0. The Rochester Jeffersons beat, what does that say?
The All Tonawanda?
The All Tonawanda.
Near Buffalo.
14-3. The Dayton Triangles, they had a team named after a geometric shape, beat the Detroit Heralds 28-0. The Akron Pros shut out the Canton Bulldogs 7-0. The Elyria Athletics beat the Columbus Panthers. Oh, no. That game actually ended in a scoreless tie. Here's what I will tell you right now. I would rather tomorrow watch highlights of the scoreless tie between the Columbus Panhandles and the Elyria Athletics then watch the game that we're going to be stuck with at 12:30 tomorrow. I mean, it's not right. It's not fair. What did we do?
I'd love to bring back the team named Triangles.
Me too. If I were to start a team right now, I would call it the Triangles.
I found 5 guys that scored on that day. Tell me which of these names is your favorite.
Go.
We have Frank Bacon. We have Dick Abril. We have Norb Stacksteeter.
What?
Wait, what? The first name is what?
Norb.
Is that N-O-R-B?
Yes. Norm Sacksteeder.
How are you spelling that?
S-A-C-K-S-T-E-D-E-R.
Sacksteeder.
Maybe it's Sacksteader.
Who knows? Go ahead.
Rip King. Like Rip King.
Rip King.
And then we have Dutch Sternemann. So those were the 5 names I could find, the guys that scored on the first Thanksgiving Day.
All of them should be starting at quarterback for the Lions tomorrow.
Sacksteeder drops back to pass.
Oh, my God. Rip King with the score. All right, we'll come back into who you got next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny, G-R-E-E-N-Y, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Greeny.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. I know that it would be very hard to flex a game to Thanksgiving, but we have to do it. Like, we just can't be, we cannot be saddled with this tomorrow. The Tim Boyle and the Lions against Andy Dalton and the Bears.
Good promo.
It's just the worst game. Is there a game on this weekend schedule that could be worse? I'm asking you. Just name the other games on Sunday, and I will tell you if there's a worse game.
Okay, Steelers-Bengals.
Much better.
Bucks-Colts.
Way better.
Panthers-Dolphins.
Better.
Titans-Patriots.
I mean, insanely better.
Eagles-Giants.
Still better.
Falcons-Jags.
That's bad.
It's bad.
Falcons-Jags would be bad. I think that actually might... I'm more interested in seeing Trevor Lawrence, though. Like, again, if Justin Fields was playing, at least there's something to watch for. So at least I'm slightly interested in seeing Trevor Lawrence. So I'm going to say that's better.
How about Jets-Texans?
Oh, that's worse. That's way worse. Jets-Texans should be flexed to Thanksgiving, and they should play it at like 9:30 in the morning. You know how they play, you know, Nuno, you know how they play the London games at 9:30 in the morning? But they should play that one in L.A.
Jets-Texans should be flexed to Friday night football.
Yeah, well, I mean, if that. No, you don't want to get that in the way of your high school team. Like, you got to watch that. Jets-Texans should play. You know how they sneak a game in there 9:30 in the morning on you? Sneak that in 9:30 for your early risers on Thanksgiving. That's easy to ignore. You can eat. That's a great game not to watch if you don't want to watch a game. So is the 9:30 game.
You're hiding the product.
Hide it.
And
hide
the store.
It for everyone's benefit. And so you put that game on there, but it's too much to go to London to play it wherever you want. Doesn't really make any difference.
So you're playing a 9:30 game on the on American
play
soil?
Play at 6:30 in the morning.
On Thanksgiving.
Plymouth Rock.
Now I'm watching that.
Plymouth Rock.
I'm interested. Plymouth Rock.
I mean, right? Thanksgiving.
9:30. That's a new tradition. 9:30 game.
Plymouth Rock.
Jets Texans every year. Plymouth Rock.
Let's go. I kind of like it.
They do the Field of Dreams game, right? It's in a specific location because it's important.
Dyersville, Iowa.
They should play a game at Plymouth Rock.
I love it.
Can I ask a stupid question? How big is Plymouth Rock? Is it a big enough rock to play a football game on? Is that the name of a town? Like, I feel like I should know this.
Plymouth, Massachusetts. I mean, I don't know how big the rock
is. But is the rock an actual rock?
Well, there's a rock there. I think we're going to hope there's enough grass.
Well, I mean, this doesn't have to be. We're not playing on the rock.
How big is the rock?
The rock is like the size of.
That's not the rock. That can't be the Plymouth Rock. There's no way in the world that we landed, the Mayflower landed at that.
This is in the museum. It's like the size of, like, I don't know, a bread basket.
Well, that's a very small rock.
It just happened to be where they landed. It's not like it was anything.
They didn't land on the rock. It's just a symbolic thing.
I always thought of it as being like a large rock that they landed on and disembarked, and they all walked on the rock. And why is the rock so important? Like, what is significant about the rock? It should just be Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Just like any memento. It's like
It's not a memento. It's a stone.
Well,
not even a rock.
If they had gone to a different town in Massachusetts, it would be that rock. They just needed to it's symbolic. It's significant in that way.
No, it's not.
You
it's
disagree?
Not. No, I'm very disappointed in the rock.
You were hoping it would be huge.
I thought it would be bigger than that. It looks like you could pick it up and carry it if you want to.
You almost can.
That's a very small
symbolic.
Rock. All right. So we can't play the game there. But we can play it somewhere that no one should have to watch it, including me. Okay. Let's do who you got. Where am we? Let's do it.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right. I'll say it.
Who you got?
All right, to wrap it up for this day here before Thanksgiving, we bring in Bubba. Many of you may not know this, but long before his career in radio broadcasting, Bubba had a job in which he would provide the lie detector tests for the CIA. So when they were, you know, deposing potential spies and all that kind of stuff, you have to ask a series of questions. You get the lie detector. Mm. Bubba designed those. He knows how to ask the questions. So he will ask me a series of very provocative questions, and I'll have to tell him who I've got. Bubba, take it away.
All right, let's start with Nuno's favorite pal, Jason Garrett. He was fired yesterday, and we're guessing Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge will survive the season, but either, neither, or both will be with the Giants in 2022. Who you got here?
So it depends on whether you're asking me what I would do or which I think will happen. Are you asking me what I think will happen?
Yes.
I think they will fire Gettleman and keep Judge is what I think will happen. And I personally do not think that's a good idea. And if you were listening yesterday, I told you, I think this is unfair to Joe Judge. I do not think he has coached his way out of a job. But I think if you're going to fire the person at the apex of your organization, you have to allow whoever the new one is to choose the coach. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're doing one of two things. One, you're putting them on separate but parallel tracks, which I do not think works. Two, you're allowing Judge to choose the guy. You're sort of letting Judge have an enormous amount of control in the organization, and it is not in any way my opinion that he has earned that. So I think this will be a mistake, but I believe it is what they will do. I think they will fire Gettleman, and keep Judge. Nuno is a Giant fan. Do you agree with that?
I do.
Do you think that's the right way to do it?
Yep, clean house.
No, I just said they won't, that they will keep Judge.
What?
Nope, I didn't hear. Nope, clean house. Everyone gone.
So you're on my side, that's what they should do.
They should, right. Yes.
Let me ask you something, Greeny. You said that you don't think that Joe Judge has coached himself out of the job.
Right.
Do you think that Joe Judge has coached himself into next season? Like
only been there a year and a half. I mean, I think if you, whatever it is you saw in him that made you say, this is the person I want to lead my organization, if you are already now have made up your mind you were wrong about that, that's pretty damning.
That was in part a Dave Gettleman decision, right? Who will be gone, presumably.
I guess. Right? But did Gettleman make that decision by himself?
Not by himself.
No, because the mayor's, John Mayer talked about how much he loved Joe, when he interviewed Joe Judge, how much he loved him.
So, I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to pull the plug on him at this quick stage. And I think that's a reasonable position to take, but I think it sets you up for future failure in the long run. Bubba, what's next?
Will Matt Nagy be the Bears head coach on Monday when we come back after Thanksgiving?
No.
Who you got?
I don't think he will. I think that all signs point to him being fired Friday. I'm not 100% sure what could happen tomorrow that would change that. I mean, if the Bears win 37-3, with Andy Dalton lighting it up, like, does that change your mind? If I don't know. All signs point to they've made this decision that they're going to do this week. So I believe that's what will happen. And in the long run, it's probably in Nagy's best interest anyway. Like when you're in this place, like I remember years and years ago, Jim Fossil was the coach of the Giants. The organization went to him. Nuno, you'll remember this. How many games were left in the season when they went to him and they said, look, we're going to fire you at the end of the year. We'll give you the option of coaching out the season or not. And he chose to stay. And I give him all the credit in the world for it. They announced it. It got the fans off their back. It turned out to be a brilliant thing to do, I think, because it just got rid of all that pressure and tumult. I think he earned a lot of respect from people, particularly from me, by finishing out the job. So I think that was actually a pretty good way to handle it. How many games? Do you remember, Nuno, how many games he coached after that?
I want to say six, but I'm not 100% sure.
That feels like a lot. I think it was less than six. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Anyway, unless the Bears do something like that with Nagy, he's better off getting fired anyway, but right? Don't you think?
Sure. And Fossil had taken the Giants to a Super Bowl. Do we think that if you say that we have a lame duck coach and you keep him, that probably affects the locker room in an adverse way, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, at this point, what are we worried about? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, to answer your question, Bubba, I do not believe he will still be the coach by the end of the weekend. It's who you got with Bubba. What's next?
All right, and so as we were just talking about to begin the segment, the Lions have played on Thanksgiving since 1934, the Cowboys since 1966, and they've since added a third game at night. So the age-old question, do you like the Lions-Cowboys tradition on Thanksgiving, or do you want a rotation? Do you want the Cowboys-Lions not even in there at all? What do you think here? Who you got?
All right. I have to say, as I just sat here and told you how awful this game is tomorrow, I do kind of like the tradition of those two teams always playing at home on Thanksgiving. I kind of do. Adding the night game, I rather like. Do I remember this correctly? They didn't play the night game last year because of COVID. Isn't that right? There was a good game on that Thursday night, and then because of COVID, it didn't get played.
Yeah, I think it was canceled. That's right, yeah.
It wasn't canceled because no games wound up being canceled, right. Yeah, but it was postponed.
Right? It got moved to like Wednesday or something.
It got moved. I think I'm remembering that right. And I missed it. I love that night game. That's the best one.
That was Steelers-Ravens. You're right.
That's the best game because that's when everything is done. Everyone is gone. And now I'm just going to sit on my couch and not move and watch football. So I like that game. But as much as I cannot stand, I think we need to be prepared to flex. But I do, generally speaking, like the tradition of having the Lions and Cowboys play.
How many wins do the Lions need to have?
It's like the Supreme Court's definition of pornography. You just know it when you see it. It's not about them being bad, but it's just about, like, it renders the game meaningless. Like unless you're a passionate fan of that. If you're a passionate fan of that team, what are you even rooting for? Like, you could be rooting for them to lose out so you get the first pick. I mean, who knows what you're rooting for? And the Bears, again, if Fields was playing, I would feel differently. But if you're the Bears, you're better off losing if Andy Dalton is playing. What are you trying to accomplish? So it's just such a terrible game that we need to be prepared to flex it out. It's Bubba on ESPN Radio with Who You Got. Go.
By the way, two notes on the Mayflower. The Pilgrims did not refer to Plymouth Rock in any of their writings. The first documented claim that Plymouth Rock was the landing place of the Pilgrims was made in 1741, 121 years after the Pilgrims arrived in Plymouth. Secondly,
yeah.
Trivia, the first baby born on the Mayflower was named Peregrine.
Oh, which is your last name.
Correct.
Okay, so that's not interesting to anyone but you. But the Plymouth Rock piece of this, so what we're saying is that Plymouth Rock is just a made-up thing. Like land at Plymouth Rock. They didn't call it Plymouth Rock. It wasn't even referenced for 100 years.
There's some fishy things going on.
It wasn't called anything. No one was, I mean, we weren't here yet. It's a symbolic thing. I mean, it was not called something.
The Rock?
No one wasn't named yet.
Did they pay special attention to this rock? And if so, why? It's not big enough. It's not what I ever thought it would be. I always thought it'd be like some huge rock. It's just like a rock. It's like a small rock.
I don't know why we're glossing over the first baby named Peregrine. I mean, again, his first name was Peregrine. That's pretty impressive.
And your last name is Peregrine. Many people may not know this, but Bubba actually is a descendant.
We're talking about the 1600s, a baby named Peregrine.
A direct descendant of the Mayflower.
All right. Anyway, Cincinnati has made it into the top four. Finally, yeah. They made it in. Congrats. Do you think they will survive any way and make it to the college football playoff at the end? Who you got?
I don't. I will continue to believe this committee is going to find a way to get them out. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair, but I think they're going to do it. I think Oklahoma State could give them a reason to do it. I think they would have given anything for Notre Dame to give them a reason to do it. I think maybe they find a way to put a two-loss team in there somewhere, as distasteful as that may be to many. I think they're going to find a way to keep them out because I just don't think they want to put them in there.
Wow.
You think they're
going to
get in?
I think Cincinnati is going to get in because I think it's very likely that the Big 12 has they're going to eliminate themselves, and I think Alabama's going to lose again. They're probably going to be the number four team, but they're going to get in.
Okay.
By process of elimination.
I hope they do. They deserve it. Give me one more quick one, Bubba. Go.
Sunday was World Television Day. Now that you're doling out TV wrecks, you got anything recently? Who you got?
Have I mentioned Dope Sick on the air?
You have not.
Okay. That's the show that we're watching now. I never used to watch shows, but we're empty nesters now, so we are watching TV shows. We watched Only Murders in the Building, which I loved. Now we're watching Dope Sick. I only have one episode left. Don't tell me what happens. We've seen, I believe there are eight. We've seen seven. However many there are, we've seen one less than that. It's Michael Keaton. It's about the opioid crisis in America. It's absolutely fantastic. That is my TV recommendation. It is the second show I've binge watched, and I love it. Dope Sick on Hulu. Bubba, well done. Everybody, well done. Please, one and all, have a very healthy, happy, wonderful Thanksgiving. Spend it with people that you love, and we will see you back in Better Than Ever. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.